Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order. Before we get into any real official business, I would like to acknowledge our economic development officer, David Kalinchuk. He was recognized by the Economic Development Association of Alberta as being the Economic Developer of the Year. So, and a very big asset to us. So, Dave, if you'd stand up, we'd like to give you a congratulatory salute here. Thank you for your hard work and for the great stuff that you do, the great work that you do for the county. It's nice to see you get recognized from with outside the county. Can't you hear me? No? Hello? Hello? Anyway, thank you, and congratulations again. So we'll, with that, we will call the meeting to order and ask for confirmation of the 2000... Or, no, I need to accept the agenda. Is there any additions?
To you, Mr. Chair, administration has no updates to the agenda.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to accept the agenda? Guess not. Oh, Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
I'll make the motion to accept the agenda as presented.
All in favor? That is carried. We will go to B1. No, we won't. We'll go to confirmation. I'm in a rush today here. I've got to slow down. Confirmation of minutes for March 13th, council meeting. Councillor Hansen.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes of the March 13th council meeting.
All in favor? That is carried. Now we'll go to B1.
Good morning, Mr. Reeve and Council. Item B1 is to do with the 2018 operating capital budget adjustment with regards to special initiatives. In 2018, or the 2018 operating capital base budget was approved on February 27, 2018. At that time, the budget included unallocated tax funding in the amount of $175,300. Currently, as a result of assessment rule finalization, the unallocated tax funding is now approximately $779,000. The purpose of this report is to respectfully request that Council adjust the base budget to include a number of items that were previously unfunded. Administration has compiled the list of unfunded initiatives and provided supplementary information for Council's consideration. Operating special initiatives are comprised of items that are intended to enhance or maintain current service delivery levels and will be funded by property tax. All new positions are reported on a prorated basis for the 2018 year. Capital special initiatives pertain to larger scale projects that are funded by debt or grants. The borrowing bylaws are long-term, and administration is requesting first reading of these bylaws. The bylaws will then be advertised for two consecutive weeks as per the MGA 606 sub 2 sub A. This budget adjustment supports the fiscal responsibility strategic pillar by anticipating future demands and maintaining organizational efficiency. It is administration's recommendation that any unallocated funds remaining after consideration of the budget adjustments included in this report be brought forward and reviewed when Council considers the tax rate bylaws on April 24, 2018. Administration is recommending that the 2018 budget adjustments be approved, and there is a number of ways we can do this, Council, and one of them is to go through each item line by line. Another one would be to do a omnibus and sever certain items that Council would wish to debate, or administration recommends a combination of that. We feel that the operating budget adjustments could be done by omnibus with select items being severed if Council wishes to discuss them, and then go line by line for the 2018 capital budget adjustments. The reason for this is we do have to read the first reading of the borrowing bylaw should that initiative be accepted. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does Council have any questions, or do you want to go right ahead? Okay, Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, through the chair. I do have some questions on some things that are in here that I'm not sure if we approved or didn't approve, and I'd kind of like to have discussions on a few of them. So I'm not sure how you want to work that out, whether you want us just to ask questions now, or do you want us to kind of go through the entire piece here?
Based on administration's recommendation to Omnibus, the operating, you could ask all your questions now, and we could answer any specifics.
Okay, I'll start then. So my notes from the workshop on the livestock emergency response trailer, for some reason I had no on here, and yet I see it within the budget. I'm not sure if I really want to debate this right this second, but that was the one of them. The salt and storage building, I thought we were waiting for Alberta Environment approval, so I'm not sure where that's actually at. The other one is going to be on... planning services. I thought we had a conversation there that we wanted to see what we're actually going to do with that in that department first. And what was my other one here?
If I could, I think maybe the best way to go here now, that if there is going to be questions on this, let's deal like the very first item we have in the 2018 operating is the livestock emergency trailer. So let's deal with that through a motion one way or the other. And we can debate it if that's okay. That's the way to go. Okay, good. So if you want to make a motion on the livestock trailer to remove it from the budget or to keep it in, one of the two. So we can have a talk about that.
I won't make a. I'm not sure if there's any other questions about the livestock trailer then, if that's where we're going to go with it, or. If I don't see any, I see a light on, so maybe I'll give up my mic just for a minute, and then I'll let another councillor speak.
Councillor McCullough.
Yeah, I agree with Deputy Reeve Gautreau on this. I remember the discussion, and we just thought the livestock trailer couldn't be at the right place at the right time and be deployed fast enough. And so I do recall that we had sort of maybe X'd that one off the list, so I am surprised to see this one back.
Yeah, I remember it that way as well, and I think one of the things we talked about was talking to the residents in different areas and having people on a list that could be called should there be an emergency for livestock in that area, farmers that are horse people that have trailers. So I'd entertain a motion, Councillor Hanson.
Maybe another comment before a motion, but that livestock trailer is mentioned in the emergency response plan that we're looking at later today. So it might require changes to the emergency response plan as a result of losing it.
Amendments already, potentially. Councillor Shule.
I'm going to start. I'm going to make a motion, one, that we approve the livestock emergency response trailer budget. Adjustment for $24,000 to be approved as presented, attachment A. See where it goes.
Mr. Robinson.
Sure. Just to perhaps, hopefully add some clarity to all of council. Keep in mind, none of these, although council may have seen these items before and talked about them in the past, none of them have been added to the budget. That's the process today. So if there's some up there, and I know Councillor Shule has just made a motion to add this one, if it's defeated, it's defeated and it will not be added to the budget. And so if there's others on this list that you don't want, you don't need a motion to not add them to the list. You just simply won't add them to the budget. That's all that's required today.
Thank you. Councillor Henn.
In regards to the livestock emergency response trailer, I'm personally for it. I think the amount isn't insurmountable. It's not crazy, and it'll be handy. If again, I believe it's going to be stored at the Balzac Yard, which is, in my opinion, relatively central to the county, and I think it's a necessary piece of equipment.
Councillor Comanche.
Through the chair, just to refresh my memory, that budget adjustment for $24,000, how would that be utilized?
So, if I may, we have the fire chief here, is here to speak to any, or all of the managers that are involved with any of these budget adjustments are here, so I'll ask Randy to come up and give you some background into that item.
Through the chair. The livestock trailer is the product of emergency planning that was done in 2017 and finishing off this year with Wheatland County, where we created a livestock emergency component to our emergency plan. The livestock trailer is a real basic unit that with some ramps, some pens, so that if we have a livestock trailer that flips over on the highway, and it happens, we can contain the animals, keep them off the highway until resources can be brought to the trailers from around the area, and that we can get the animals back and to a barn or wherever. We're looking at a very basic unit. We're not looking at a lot of equipment. We already carry a lot of rescue equipment on our fire trucks. It's there, and this would be a regional resource for Rocky View and our mutual aid partners. And so, again, yeah, this is something that we would see parked either at the Balzac Fire Hall or in the works yard if we can convince them that's a good place for it. And it's something that it's not weather dependent. It's it can just sit outside, and when we need it, then we can back up to it with one of our bush buggies, or if we can call in a works unit and with a one-ton pickup truck and get it to the scene.
Thank you. I think the idea is good. You know, the idea is great. But reality tells me that if we flip a Tritium liner over on the highway that's got 50 head of fats in it, and we take a little 20-foot trailer out there, we're going to get 6 or 8 of them on that trailer. And then what about the rest of them? Mm.
To the chair, this is not to put animals in. Again, this is just to contain them, utilizing what we have on scene. If there are fence lines, we can have penning to corral them and hold them until we can get resources from the shipper to get them moved. So it's not, this is not an animal hauler. This is just penning, bridles, ropes, ramps that we might use to, you know, when we do utilize community trailers and the sort if we need them. And the closest provincial resource is Red Deer County.
Okay, now that helps me a little bit. Yeah. Councillor Hanson. So,
through the reeve, my question would be, what's on that trailer that the average cow-calf operation that might be in the neighborhood wouldn't have that allows us to actually treat the animals more humanely or reduce risk of them wandering on the highway for a collision or something? What's unique about a trailer that you won't find in an average farmyard?
Through the chair, to the councillor, essentially, there's nothing unique, and in fact, in our planning, we're trying to keep it very simple. I guess the advantage is that instead of trying to round up equipment, it's there and it can respond right now, not 2 hours from now, 3 hours. You know, somebody's in Florida on holidays, and we definitely does not negate the need to have a resource list that's always changing. You know, farm operations are always changing and morphing. They are part of the solution. This is just another step in the solution to responding to livestock emergencies.
All right, thank you.
Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
Thank you. Through the chair. This makes a lot more sense now. When you just read the report, it just says livestock trailer, and you don't really understand what is there. So I what I'm taking in, there's going to be some fencing, et cetera, in there, pens and stuff like that. So for that, I will support Councillor Shule's motion there to support this and put it in the budget, because I do see probably a need for it now that you're talking about it. If you do have something that could be on a highway and there's not a farm around, at least we have some type of equipment to kind of house something anyway. It's better than nothing.
Councillor Henn.
Through the chair to council. sorry. I'd like to say this idea isn't exclusive to Rocky View. It's many other counties in MDs in Alberta have a similar apparatus. And second to that, I've talked to some ranchers and residents in my division and run it by them just to get their opinions on it, and everybody sort of thought it was a good idea. So and the big thing with this deal is, yeah, as the chief said, the equipment's ready and at our disposal. Sure, we have the same amount of panels and containment equipment at our place, but it's kind of being used, and we definitely offer it up, but it's just not handy type of thing. So that's my thoughts.
Thank you. Councillor McCullough.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing is response and, you know, being in the right place at the right time. You know, just a question, is this a... I guess, for lack of a better phrasing, is this a pilot? Would we have more if we find that, you know, because I can see us, you know, having, you know, problems on Highway 2. I can see us having problems on Highway 1. I mean, really any major highway where we're moving livestock. So, you know, to me, the issue isn't do we need this or don't we need this. It's about having enough equipment in the right place that we can get there fast enough. So for response, and I'm rambling a little bit, but if the response time from Balzac to something west of Calgary or out, you know, 22 is 45 minutes, I just don't know if that's fast enough. And so my bigger thing is, do we need more? And are we starting with this? Is this the starting place?
Thank you. Well, I'll call the question. All in favor? That is carried. So we're going to leave it the way it is.
Well, thank you for the discussion, though.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, it was clarification. Is there any more in the operating part of the special initiatives? I see no more lights coming on. So could we do an omnibus motion for the rest? Or I guess it would be from number 2 to number 8. If I can get a motion for that, we can move this ahead. Councillor Shule.
I will do that, but as long as I don't have to read it at all.
Yeah, everyone.
Then if it goes from number 8, I do have one.
Oh, sorry. We do have a question. Councillor Shule, the Deputy Reeve has one that... we got the full-time staff. Deputy Reeve, control.
Sorry. So for the motion 8 for the full-time staff, again, I just thought if we can get some clarification on planning services... I thought we were going to be re-looking at that entire department before we made a decision. So I'm not sure if there's some clarification or discussion on that.
Councillor Shule.
From my recollection, my notes, I thought this was fine, so I didn't see an issue with this one. So I'll just leave my motion stand.
And do you need everyone read? No?
So if you just read that motions through 2 through 8 be approved as per attachment A, that would be fine.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we approve motion 2 to 8 as on the screen, on the agenda.
Well, I do have a record here that some of these we had talked about and said we could go contract. We were waiting for some restructuring to happen. So I don't think I'll support that motion, but Councillor Hansen.
My recollection is we discussed adding personnel to the front desk. And yes, there was a lot of debate about that. But I thought in the end, it was quasi show of hands that it wouldn't hurt. And until we decided what to do, right.
Okay. I see.
If
no
I
lights.
May, Mr. Chairman, just to add some clarity to it. So your notes are accurate. There were a number of positions that we discussed in the past, and we have reflected that in this list. So this list only reflects the ones that that we felt were most beneficial to the organization, and we have taken some off of that list and not they haven't continued on to this process.
Any further questions? All in favor? And recorded vote, Councillor Kissel, start with you.
Opposed. In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Ouch. Carried. Those are all carried. So we'll go to... special initiatives for capital budget. Is there any discussion on any of the items there? Or you need these done individually. Okay, so motion number 9.
I'd like to make a motion that the Township Road 260 bridge replacement budget adjustment for $600,000 be be approved as presented in Attachment A.
Any discussion? All in favor? That is carried. I need someone for motion number 10. Councillor Henn.
I move that bylaw C-7771-2018 be given first reading.
What is bylaw C-7771? Anybody know?
That would be the motion that would put number 9 in effect.
To the chair.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
okay.
To the chair. It's a Borean bylaw for motion number 9. We did it so that if motion 9 is approved, we would get the first reading on the Borean bylaw.
I'm picking this up. So we don't need to read out the first one then, do we? Just the motion.
To the chair, it would be advisable to approve that to get it into the budget first, and then the funding source would be borrowing after that.
Okay. So all in favor? Carried. Motion 11. Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
I'd like to make a motion that the Township Road 262 bridge replacement budget adjustment for $600,000 be approved as presented in Attachment A.
All in favor? Carried. Motion 12.
I'd like a motion that bylaw C-7772-2018 be given first reading.
Councillor Kissel.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. All in favor? That is carried. Motion 13. Councillor Comanche.
I'd like to make the motion that Range Road 20 bridge replacement budget adjustment for $500,000 be approved as presented in Attachment A.
All in favor? That is carried. And number 14, Councillor Henn.
I move that bylaw C-7774-2018 be given first reading.
That's 773. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was reading the board instead of my computer. Could I start over and move that bylaw C-7773-2018 be given first reading?
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried. Number 15. Councillor McKeiler.
I'll make the motion that the Langdon 4th Street pedestrian walkway budget adjustment for $325,000 be approved as presented in Attachment A.
Councillor Shule. Oh. All in favor? That is carried. We need number 16. Councillor Henn.
I move that bylaw C-7774-2018 be given first reading.
First reading, all in favor? That is carried. Councillor Gautreau.
So this one here is where I just wanted a clarification question then, and I wasn't sure if we had to wait for Alberta Environment approval for this.
Through you, Mr. Chair, I think the intention and the discussion that we had is trying to get everything moving forward because of the lengthy period it takes for Alberta Environment to provide their approvals, so I think it's timely to get this in play.
Thank you for that, then. Then I'll make the motion for 17 that the salt and sand storage for building budget adjustment for $750,000 be approved as presented in Attachment A.
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried, and we need number 18.
I'd like to make a motion that bylaw C-7775-2018 be given first reading.
All in favor? That is carried. And now we go to 19. Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
Thank you. I make a motion that the Range Road 284 Conridge paving budget adjustment for $925,000 be approved as presented in Attachment A.
All in favor? That is carried. And number 20. Councillor Comanche.
Make the motion that bylaw C-776-2018 be given first reading.
All in favor? That is carried. Number 21. Sorry. Councillor Henn.
I move that Township Road 270 paving budget be adjusted for $965,000 to be approved as presented in Attachment A.
All in favor? That is carried. And number 22, Deputy Reeve Gaudreau.
Make the motion that bylaw C-7777-2018 be given first reading.
First reading, all in favor. That is carried. Number 22, is it? 23. This is the one we've been looking for.
I'll make motion 23 that the Langdon Fire Station replacement budget adjustment for $3.9 million be approved as presented in attachment A.
All in favor? That is carried. And number 24. Councillor Shule.
I can also make that motion 24 that the council direct administration to apply for the Municipal Sustainability Initiative Program for $3.9 million in grant funding.
Thank you. All in favor? That too is carried.
And thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to add to this conversation. As a result of the budget that came out on Thursday of last week, we did get some additional information about the MSI program. Now, the MSI program for 2018 has actually been cut in almost half from the province, so our allotment will be considerably less than we would get on an annual basis. But what the province did prior to announcing the budget is they gave us essentially 1 year of additional funding. So in 2018, we actually will have some extra MSI money. And so we are still going ahead. When this report was drafted, we didn't have that information in hand. We do have it now, and we are planning to still move ahead with the borrowing bylaws and advertising and so forth. But when we come back to you with budget finalization, we may have some options for council to consider in replacing some of the debt financing with grant funding if it's available. We're just working through the numbers right now.
Good. Thank you. Deputy Reeve Control.
Just on clarification on that, were they were going to give us the extra money for 1 year, but they said wasn't that going to be for future years, though, is my understanding?
So this isn't, sorry, through the chair to the Deputy Reeve, this isn't the first time they've done this. It's, I think, the second time throughout the program that they've done this, where they say it's extra 2017 money that they've given to us in 2018. Because we received the money in 2018, we consider it 2018 money, so it's approximately $11 million was the additional amount that they allocated to Rocky View, as well as the estimate for 2018's amount is right around, I think it's around the $5 or $6 million amount. And so that's approximately $17 million that we have in 2018. Now, it does represent part of the program, so you're right, it does actually represent money that's part of that overall MSI program for the period that it was allocated. So what will happen is it will shorten the amount of time that they have to actually give us all of our money or the amount that they've allocated to us.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions, we'll go to item D1, appointment of the fire guardians.
To the Reeve, this report is really a housekeeping item, something that we do every year. So as per the Forest and Prairie Protection Act 2000 and the Rocky View bylaw C-7140-2012 Fire Services bylaw, I'm recommending that the annual appointment of fire guardians within Rocky View County. Once appointed by council, the fire guardian is authorized to issue fire permits within Rocky View County. And given the large geographic area, the county has historically appointed fire guardians from within the community, so not necessarily fire service personnel. And this list changes every year, so hence the annual appointment. To finish off here, we're just in the process now of training everybody up to so they understand both the bylaw and the Prairie and Protection Act. And it's just going forward. We're just coming up to our fire season, and people will be applying for permits.
Thank you. Councillor Hinn.
Through the chair, what type of compensation, if any, do we award our fire guardians?
It varies across the board. It's part of our duties as fire service personnel to do them, so there is no compensation other than our wages. So each of the seven fire stations are actively involved in issuing permits. The fire station down in Redwood Meadows, they'll issue fire permits. They get a dollar a permit, so minimal compensation on the permits, as well as the individuals that are out in the community basically do it as a community service, and they get, for every permit they turn into the county, they get a dollar remuneration, and they might do a couple hundred permits.
Don't you buy them a nice supper once a year? Councillor McKeiler.
Are we going to move to an online system at some point?
Through the chair, I would love to move to an online process for doing fire permits. And there's really a the scope of fire permit that we're issuing is changing. One, a campfire doesn't require a permit. If you're burning some branches from your property and it's, you know, the reported fire is going to be fairly small, we don't do an inspection on that. We just issue the permit. You sign that you agree to all the rules and regulations. Mostly it's not burning prohibited material. But for the larger fires, we actually go out and do inspections. Our hope is that working with IT going forward is that we can have this as an online request or fill in the permit along with firework permits. So, yeah, we're trying to move that direction to make it easy. And we're also looking at, with a new campus, can we even get front counter staff trained up as fire guardians so that one-stop shopping, if they need a fire permit, we can get it issued right away.
Thank you.
Councillor Comanche.
I'd like to make the motion that the individuals listed in Attachment A be appointed for a one-year term as Rocky View County Fire Guardians for the 2018 fire season as per the Forest and Prairie Protection Act.
Thank you for that. Any discussion? Seeing none, call the question. All in favor? And that is carried. Thank you. We'll go to D2. I think that might be the fire chief again.
To the chair. This report is to have council really reestablish the Greater Bread Creek Fire Smart Committee. And so the terms of reference, which are presented in the attachment to this report, lay out what the scope of what the committee will be looking at. Council may establish committees for the purpose of supporting and facilitating the achievement of the county's goals and for the purposes of advising council on matters relevant to the respective committee mandate. And the terms of reference that I've listed here would support that. So the terms of reference, if the terms of reference are supported, the committee will assist in implementing a philosophy of culture and practice of Fire Smart in the Greater Bread Creek area and provide advice on issues related to the wildfire threat, community protection within a 12-kilometer zone of Bread Creek or the Greater Bread Creek area. And furthermore, the committee is responsible for working to update the 2012 Greater Bread Creek Wildfire Mitigation Strategy and reducing regional risk from the threat of wildfire, promoting fire smart concepts, educating the public, and effective response to future wildfire situations. Fire Smart committees are not a new idea. They're across Canada. We had a Fire Smart committee at one point in Bragg Creek. We have real interest from the community in establishing this committee. In fact, we've had one meeting already to see what the interest was, and they're quite interested in doing this. And I think that along with emergency management, fire prevention starts at home. It starts with the individual. That's the foundation of having a resilient community. And so the Fire Services fully supports having this committee active in not only Bragg Creek. We're hoping this is a pilot and we can take it to other areas north of Cochrane and around the county.
Thank you. Councillor Comanche.
I want to echo what Chief Smith just said. We did have a meeting last week, and it was a good turnout. And given the recent disasters that have been happening all around Alberta, the U.S. and B.C., there is a heightened awareness. And just because we have a crap load of snow on the ground doesn't mean the fire situation is going away. And it's pretty much starts in April. So I'd like to make the motions. Motion one, that the terms of reference for the Bragg Creek Fire Smart Committee be approved as per attachment A. Motion two, that I, Councillor Camacci, be appointed to the Bragg Creek Fire Smart Committee until the 2018 organizational meeting.
Councillor Hansen.
So verbally you said 12 kilometers. In our agenda it says 10 kilometers. I had a question about fuel zones, and you just put a pin in the map at the center of the hamlet and draw a 10-kilometer, 12-kilometer radius or diameter, I guess. Or do we actually dot a line out on a map and this is the fire smart zone? What happens outside of the zone is another one of my questions.
Through the chair to Councillor Hansen. This really just gives, it is 10 kilometers, I'm sorry if I misspoke, really just gives a target area for the committee. We support Fire Smart activities across the county. We've been very successful in getting the FRIA grants in putting plans in place. And in fact, the 2012 Fire Smart strategic plan was through a FRIA grant, and so Fire Services is active across the county. This particular group, not that we'll stop at the 10-kilometer mark, but it just gives the committee a focus on where we're, you know, with the public education and the community input, that's where we're targeting right now.
All right. And through the chair, is Redwood Meadows, that's within 10 kilometers, correct?
Historically, they have the fire chief actually sat on the committee, and we're working on developing our mutual aid partnership with Redwood Meadows, and I see them being an active participant as part of Fire Services.
All right, thank you.
Any further discussion? We have two motions on the floor. All in favor? And they are carried. D3. Again, the fire chief.
Through the chair to council. I'm very pleased to bring our emergency management program to council for review and approval. This is an update to the 2014 plan that we had in place. I'll read my executive summary here and then I'll shoot from the hip. So in 2017, Rocky View County Emergency Management, we hired an emergency management coordinator and embarked on building a regional emergency management program. This was done through a ACP grant. The Regional Emergency Management Plan prevents, mitigates, and or reduces the impact of disasters to the communities within the county. Currently, the regional plan is being adopted by the Village of Bicecker, Town of Aracana, Crossfield, and we're also working with a number of other partners to get them in on the regional plan. Having these municipalities adopt the county's regional plan allows the county and partners to support each other in a time of disaster and build capacity before an event occurs. We've long been pushing for the regional program. I think as an emergency manager myself, I realize that if we get into a large event, our capacity, even though we have a lot of staff and we're very fortunate that way, to run multiple operational periods, 24 hours and 24 hours and 24 hours, we're going to be stretched. So I think around Alberta, you're seeing a lot of these regional plans come into play. And again, it just builds capacity within the area so we can bring, you know, the one or two people from Aracana or Bicycle or Crossfield or Redwood Meadows, and they're coming on. We're working with them as well. But It allows us to operate more effectively. There's limited resources. There's only so many fire halls. There's only so many ambulances. It allows us to work with the province and coordinate when we have these large events. A lot of work is done. Rebecca Innes, she's hiding at the back there, was brought on through the Alberta Community Partnership Grant and has done a lot of work in putting the plan together and working it out so that we are better prepared to respond to the wildfire threat, the flood threat, or the natural disasters that we tend to see happening more and more. The plan is actually quite large. It's about 800 pages now. We haven't presented all of it. A lot of them are just dependencies, and they make up really the check sheets. What do I do? And that's the question I get asked from staff, because we don't have disasters every day. So when we bring in our emergency operations center personnel, they're able to sit down and go through checklists and job descriptions and set up and operate so that the province understands what we're doing, so that our mutual aid partners understand what we're doing. And I'm presenting the working document that we have, because the one thing that I find with an emergency plan, because staff are changing, organizations are changing daily, this is a living, breathing document, and so I'm bringing it forward to council for review and approval.
Thank you. What's the status of some of our other neighbors, Airdrie, Cochrane, Chestermere, Calgary?
The one nice thing that I found coming to southern Alberta here is that there is a real openness to partner and work together. We have a kind of a fairly intense working relationship with the city of Airdrie, their emergency coordinator. We talk a lot. We've done a number of joint exercises. They still wish to be the city of Airdrie and have their own emergency plan, so they don't want to opt into the regional plan at this point. We'll assimilate them later, but they are working with us as partners. We've run joint emergency operations centers just to see how that would work. CEMA is the Calgary emergency program is a huge machine, but they're very open to again partnering with us, in that they'll come and help us. They really don't need us. They've got the resources to deal with the city of Calgary. But we meet with them on a regular basis and exchange information and set up joint training. The Cochrans, we've done a lot of training with the city of or town of Cochrane, I guess, the town of Cochrane, and we're quite open into developing either a partnership with them, working as in a joint EOC, or having them come on the regional program. I think everybody, there's always that hesitation. The city of Chestermere has just, they hired a consultant and did their own plan, but I do have a meeting scheduled with their emergency coordinator here in the next 2 weeks, and we'll see if we can foster that partnership as well.
Good, thank you. Yeah, it's nice to know that our neighbors are, although they didn't join right in, they're receptive to coming and helping. Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
Thank you. I just want to thank everybody for your work and for your staff's work on this. I truly believe we need a plan for emergency services. You know, there's times when, you know, emergency happens and we don't know what we're doing. So at least with a document, with being prepared, we have something. You know, and I know that our neighbors will probably come aboard once things are done. So I would like to make the motion for option one, that the regional emergency management plan be approved as per attachment A.
Thank you. Councillor Hanson.
Point of clarification on attachment A, probably for Ms. Satink, I think, but we're quoting out of Rocky View bylaw on page 24 of our agenda. And everywhere else I read that the Reeve or the Deputy Reeve alone can make decisions about emergency invocation or declaring it's over. This one particular place, though, it always talks about any two of the additional councillors. But in this one clause, it doesn't really say that. It says, or in their absence, speaking to the Reeve or Deputy Reeve, any all members of council. I'm just wondering, is that a typo?
I'm just looking at the fire chief for and guidance, and he indicated, yes, it is a typo.
Okay. Maybe we get that cleaned up, and we'll be good to go. So I have one more question for the fire chief, Randy. Something like the Cochrane Gas Plant or CN Rail wasn't really specifically called out in this. Is there a separate arrangement for a mega disaster, maybe? That might be a term. But say the Cochrane Gas Plant, obviously they have their own emergency preparedness. Does this plan dovetail into that generically, or do we have a specific arrangement with Cochrane Gas Plant, say?
Through the REAP to Council Hansen. All the oil and gas companies are regulated through the province, and they all have their own emergency response plan. However, we do keep electronically a copy of those plans, and they are in contact with us from time to time and invite us to their exercises, and so that we are working with them. They tend to farm this out to consultants, so they get a lot of generic emergency plans. So we spend a lot of time going back to them and trying to fix things up so that they're not blocking our roads, or that they're working with us, and they do dovetail. But most of the companies out there are very responsive to working with the county. They see us. They have a responsibility. They're regulated provincially, and then they're quite happy when they see the county stepping up and wanting to take a role in emergency management. We have a mandate to do that anyways, but so they meet with us quite a bit, and like I say, we have can't even count, but we have a huge number of plans from all the gas and pipelines that we have in the county, and we keep them on file as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have a motion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? That is carried. Thank you for your multiple reports. We go to D4, Mr. Wilgeman. I don't see him here.
Good morning, Council. Vince Dio representing Engineering Services for item D4, which is a request that administration be directed to issue Alberta Transportation a letter of support, where it's recognizing that a speed reduction be approved along Highway 566 around the Range Road 11 intersection, both east and west of this intersection. In mid-January, Alberta Transportation did implement a four-way stop control at this intersection to improve safety as a result of safety concerns brought forward by both Rocky View County and City of Airdrie residents. They've to date installed a number of other interim measures, including rumble strips, temporary electronic messaging, as well as flashing beacons. Alberta Transportation, prior to implementing a speed zone reduction in this area from 100 kilometers an hour to 80 kilometers an hour, would seek support from Rocky View County, and I will leave you with option one.
Thank you. Councillor Henn.
So just to be clear, I'm looking at the picture in our agenda package here. It's just the green area is the part that would change, and then after that it would continue to be 100 kilometers an hour?
Through the chair to Councillor Henn, that's correct.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Henn, would you like to make the motion? Motion. It's in there. There you go.
I would move that administration be directed to provide a letter of support to Alberta Transportation to reduce the speed limit on Highway 566 west of Balzac to west of the intersection of Highway 566 and Range Road 11. I wonder, could we specify kind of how far that reduction would be before I continue with the motion?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the letter from Alberta Transportation did indicate they would do about 400 meters west of the intersection, so if you want to make that as part of your motion, that'd be fine.
Okay. I will start over. I move that administration be directed to provide a letter of support to Alberta Transportation to reduce the speed limit for 400 meters. Nope, that's not right either.
Maybe we'll take a couple minutes break here. It'll take 10 minutes, and we'll just make sure we get this one.
That'd right. be, yeah.
Thank you. Council back. I thought council. We'll call the meeting back to order and go to Councillor Henn for the motion, the D4.
I move that administration be directed to provide a letter of support to Alberta Transportation to reduce the speed limit on Highway 566 from west of Balzac to 400 meters west of the intersection of Highway 566 and Range Road 11 from 100 kilometers an hour to 80 kilometers an hour.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, call the question. All in favor? And that is carried. Go to E1.
Good morning, Council. The 2018 Master Rates Bylaw was first presented to for Council's consideration at the February 13th Council meeting. At that meeting, Council directed to bring the Master Rates Bylaw back to Council after the 2018 budget has been passed and that the public be invited to provide comments on the proposed fee changes. The 2018 budget was passed on February 27th, and the county received 14 responses from the public consultation effort offered through rockyview.ca and advertised in the Rocky View Weekly. These responses are reproduced in Attachment A with a summary of the common four themes regarding the Bride Creek water and wastewater systems as noted in this report on pages 2 and 3. Furthermore, the responses tended to focus on the proposed increase to water and wastewater rates in Bride Creek. Administration has provided a departmental breakdown of the proposed changes for the 28 Master Rates Bylaw in Attachment B. With both of the preconditions met, administration recommends approval in accordance with Option 1.
So, is there any proposed amendments? Councillor Comanche.
Through the Chair, I would like to propose two amendments with regards to the increase in fees. I'd like to put a freeze on them, only in that I am currently in discussion with several residents as well as potential business opportunities. And right now, applying the increase in rates really does put a hamper on potential development and tie into the existing system. And I think I'm at a point where we as council and administration really have to get the facts and the proper information and get it out to everybody, and that's currently where where I sit with discussion. So do I read out my amendments? Or?
Yep.
So are those ones up there, Todd? That I'd like to make the proposal of following amendments to the bylaw rates, that Schedule A of Master Rates Bylaw C7751-2018 be amended as follows. Number one, amend the Bride Creek residential and non-residential water rate from the proposed 2018 rate of $25 plus 2.064 cubic meters back to the 2017 rate of $25 plus the 1.876 per meter cubed rate. And amendment number two, amend the Bride Creek residential and non-residential sewer rate from the proposed 2018 rate of $25 plus 5.177 cubic meters back to the 2017 rate of $25 plus 4.706 meter cubed.
Is Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
Thank you. I have a few questions. I just see that Bright Creek has a $25 monthly flat fee. East Rocky View has a $30 monthly flat fee. Different rates, different things throughout the entire report. But to go back to this amendment, I'm not going to support this amendment because I do think that we need to get a cost even or cost recovery at least on these plants. I don't think it's fair that we keep going on a deficit and all of the Rocky View County is picking up the shortfall. Saying that, on page 2 of 72 on our agenda, or page 96 of the agenda of 205, some people took advantage of a $25,000 connection fee that that dead ends on the property. And this was done by a grant steward by Rocky View County, or if I said that properly, or Rocky View County actually is the one who administrated. Sorry, from the province, yeah. So I kind of look at that since the legal issue has actually changed and been overturned, I'm wondering if we should make it mandatory that everybody actually hooks up. So, you know, I mean, it's you know, dead ends there. They're not paying any flat rates, but yet they took advantage of a grant that's still technically ratepayers' money. So I can't support that. And then I'll bring a motion forward maybe to make it mandatory for all that. And I just see different rates here. So my next question probably be to engineering. Is there any way we can, like, especially the flat rates, like, they're kind of all over the map. So it depends on what district you live in is different rates. I'm not sure if we can keep them. I don't know how we do it. So it's just a question to you.
Sure, and through you, Mr. Reeve, for the flat rates, what I'll do is I'll ask Stuart Jurison to come up and actually give you an explanation of the differential in the flat rates. What I'd like to respond to is the comment related to the provincial grant and the $25,000 that was given to each lot owner within the service area. Those lot owners that took advantage of that grant, and yes, the legal climate has changed somewhat, and we'll be back in front of council with an appropriate bylaw, hopefully, to take that position. So I don't know if I need a motion from council to direct me to do that. We're already looking at that. What also is happening is those lot owners that did take advantage of the grant are still paying the local improvement. And so they are still paying for the capital, but they're just not paying for the operation or the use of the rate or the water and wastewater system itself. When we start looking at that sort of mandatory requirement, that climate will change. But for me to do that, I want to make sure that council fully understands that with making it mandatory, there are also risks that we need to understand from the landowners that don't follow through with the mandatory compliance, and there are enforcement actions that we may have to look at. Council needs to understand that climate before we actually start making it a mandatory issue, and we'll do that by creating a bylaw to give you the parameters related to each sort of scenario.
Thank you. Councillor Wright.
So I'm sort of, sorry, through the Reeve. I'm going to follow with Deputy Reeve Gautreau on this one, and I'd just like some more clarification if I can. I was reading a lot of the letters that were sent in, and it seems to be that the costs were originally calculated on the assumption that full participation would occur. Is that correct?
Through you, Mr. Chair. And how I can best explain it is really under administration's response outlined on 2 and 3 that kind of articulate what our costs are trying to be with what was recommended from the CAC, the Citizens Advisory Committee of Bright Creek, to what the anticipated rates would be. Where we are today with the rates that are being proposed to council under the Master Rates Bylaw would put the rate structure for water and wastewater to be about $195 per month. What was recommended back in 2012 from that advisory committee was the rates would be about $196. So we're actually matching up to what was proposed back to us in 2012. What will help but not solve the issue is the mandatory hookup of those residents that took advantage of the grant. But I don't think it's going to resolve the issue of this system turning into a cost-neutral sort of scenario. We'll need more customers, more opportunity, and we'll have more of those discussions as the time as the day progresses in terms of some other opportunities that can be before council.
But it does help somewhat, correct?
Correct. Anytime you add customers to the system, you are actually changing sort of the loss or the increasing the revenues.
But just for clarification, so it was assumed originally that there would be full participation?
The assumption back in 2012 was we were targeting 155 customers.
Okay.
Okay, and it broke down into 30 commercial customers and 125 residential customers. Today in total, I think we are in that 110 to 115 customers. So we're not far off our target, but we're getting closer and closer, and if we do decide to go down that mandatory requirement, we'll probably achieve that target that was initially set out back in 2012.
And again, through the chair to administration, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, but how long do you think that it would take to get the additional, I guess, what, you're 40, 45 short right now? How long, what do you see that, a year, 2 years, five? I know. Sorry.
I don't think he's got a crystal ball.
No, I said that, but I just approximate. Like, is it? How are we? How many are we increasing by a year? I guess would be the question then.
How would it? Would it help you if he said how many had under the mandatory would bring back? Like, how many people? Are you talking new customers or under the? If we made it mandatory.
Oh. Sorry. Sorry, I was probably loud enough anyway. No, I just sort of wanted to know, like, how many are we increasing by a year? Because, again, in Deputy Reeve Gautreau's questioning, it's like, does the rest of the county pick up the deficiency if we go with what Councillor Camachi's proposing? And how long are we going to keep doing it for, I guess, would be where I'm going with that.
Sorry, so through you, Mr. Chair, the Bragg Creek water and wastewater systems are operating at a loss. And so that loss is tax supported today. Your question related to how many customers can we add a year, and if we look at the precedence that's been set by Lacombe County and their sort of mandatory sort of requirement for everyone to hook up, they've set a timeline of 3 years for those people to hook up. So in 3 years, can we say we're going to have an additional customer base? Yes, if we're going to follow that time frame and that sort of scenario. Other customers would really have to be additional development. So are we seeing more development come into the Bragg Creek area, more development coming into the area structured plan expansion area? All those things will factor into seeing where more customers can be added to this system.
Councillor Shul.
I guess I'm not going to support Deputy Reeves' concern there. I'm definitely going to look at what support Councillor Camachi, only for a couple different areas that I want to look at. I want to see, say we go for one more year with the rates that it was in 2017 as per the Councillor of the area's wish. But I would, in the meantime, in the next year, but I would like to also have staff do some more research and give us more information on if we did make it mandatory, what do we need to do, what issues or can we do it, or what issues we're going to run into. I'd like, I guess, this first year of finding other solutions to see how we can, I guess, improve, get so it is a cost recovery. I just think we gave it a year to try to come up with a better solution than what we've got right now. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Councillor Camachi.
Through the chair, just with regards to the aspect of making it mandatory, I am in favor of that, but I've also heard, you know, it sounds like a great idea, but talking to residents, you know, at the time when the $25,000 was available to hook up, the cost from hooking it up from Rocky View to your home could have been anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000, and most people did hook up, but there are those who cannot afford that $5,000, and that's why they didn't take advantage of it. So I would like, you know, and now that with the recent legal change potential, I'd like to introduce that, but there are other solutions. If we make it mandatory, do we put liens on people's houses when they go to sell them so that it's not a financial cost to them immediately? So there are people who want to hook up. They do understand that it is a cost recovery issue. I'm buying time so that we can get all these ideas on the table, because I think short-term pain for long-term gain, because I'm talking to residents who want to subdivide, businesses who want to come into town, and the flood was only 5 years ago, and that was one of the main reasons why the whole water, wastewater, sewage system was expedited. So I understand other councillors where they see it as other taxpayers paying for it, but it's down the road. I think we can get tax recovery happening a lot quicker if we make it a little easier for some of these residents right now, because the young families and the seniors are the ones who are impacted most.
Mr. Reeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just again, there was a question from the Deputy Reeve on the flat rate fee, and I see Mr. Jewerson is here, so maybe he can provide just a quick overview of why there is different flat rates through our systems in the county.
Thank you. Stuart Jewison, I'm manager, utility services. So the quick answer for the difference in the flat fees with the different systems is they're brought online at different times, and the rates usually calculated based on the circumstances at the time, and they all have unique set of costs associated with them and recovery methods. So that's something we could look at, is to standardize the flat fee. I think if you look at other municipalities throughout the region, you'll find out that there's also a wide kind of variance on what they're charging is for flat fees, anywhere from zero to, you know, $50 a month flat fee. So we kind of, it's a circumstance of calculating the rate at the time, and given the circumstances surrounding each unique system is why the rates are different.
Thank you. We'll go to Councillor Kissel.
Through the Reeve, out of all the people that took advantage of the grant and actually brought the line into their property, do we know the number that actually did not hook up?
Through through you, Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that it's roughly about 20 to 25 people that took advantage of the grant but didn't tie into the system or turn on the valve, so to speak.
Okay, so if legislation changes, there's our 25 people we need to help balance this. Is that correct?
Through you, again, that'd be correct. That would, again, put us into the target that we tried to establish in 2012.
And what would be a timeline that that could be done in? I know that, again, we're asking you to bring your crystal ball here this morning, but if we actually could do that, because that would be a solution also, and help the people who already have paid into the system. How can you see it all? How could that be done in a timely fashion? Or are we looking at a longer term on that?
Through again, Mr. Chair, I would just go back to my comments that I made to Councillor Wright, and if we're going to create a bylaw that sort of strikes out this or strikes to gain mandatory hookups, then consistency would be what's out there, and what's out there from Lacombe County is a three-year sort of turnaround where we make it a mandatory requirement.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Hanson.
Through the Reeve, probably to Zoltan, or... if I snap my fingers and tomorrow we have 155 people on that system, are we achieving cost recovery? I don't think so.
Through you, Mr. Chair, no, we are not.
All right. I think it's pretty moot. I will not be supporting this. We have Rocky View East with an 8.2% increase. That's 5,000 residents, approximately 1,300 houses. My own neck of the woods, we're seeing a 9.1% increase. That's 700, probably 850 with Pinebrook. And we're asking Bragg Creek for 10%. They were 10% the previous year. They were warned that it was going to be 10% increases for a number of years. And they are still being subsidized, even at the 10%, just like Alba Valley and just like Rocky View East. So I don't think the residents have a clear picture. I empathize, but when you look at all the facts, they're not being mistreated, and I don't think the overall ratepayers in Rocky View should be covering what they think is a special situation. It's not that special.
Councillor Hinn.
Through the chair, I will be supporting this motion, and partially for in regards to Councillor Camacci's comments, but also I've got a real issue with the perception that you know, one ratepayer is subsidizing another. We just approved a $965,000 paving project in Division 5, I believe, and another $3.9 million in Langdon. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the Division 5 people alone are going to be paying for that paving, or the people in Langdon alone are going to be paying for their sidewalks. I think we need to think of the county as a whole, and the ratepayers. A ratepayer in Bicycur is the same as a ratepayer in Bragg Creek, and we're all looking after each other. That's the reason I'm supporting this motion.
Deputy Reeve Cottrell.
Thank you. So in 2012, we had a citizens advisory group come up with a price. 6 years later, we're not even at that price yet. We're still under that price that they wanted. Second thing is we need to be fair to all ratepayers. And we're looking at roads. Absolutely. How many roads are built within the entire community, not just in one division? But if we're going to start subsidizing water and wastewater, then I say we need to subsidize it throughout the entire municipality and not just within one district. Because, it's an essential. I'm on a well. I'm on a septic. Some people are tied into water co-ops. They don't have a right to say, what's my water going to be? This is an area that has municipal services. And I don't think one area should be different than any other. I agree with you, Mr. Henn, Councillor Henn. But on the one side of this, I look at, are we going to subsidize every area with water and waste? And if we're going to do that, then let's do it within the entire community here. As Councillor Hansen said, there's different rates for different places. So why not give everybody a reduction then? If we're going to put a stalemate on this, then give it throughout the entire county. That's how I look at it.
Thank you. Councillor McKeiler.
Through the Reeve. So Elbow Valley and Langdon are water treatment. Are we a profit center anywhere? Or a break-even center anywhere?
Through the chair to Councillor McKeiler. Yes, we are in Langdon, specifically Langdon, which is on the East Rockview system for wastewater. They are in a profit situation, so there is some funds going into a capital replacement reserve from Langdon. The East Rockview water system is also at a last year was at a budget surplus. We're projecting a budget deficit for 2018, but a surplus again for 2019. The Elbow Valley Pine Brook is, since we've had that system, has been in a budget surplus situation and contributing to a reserve.
A further on question is, how many years did it take us to get there?
For the East Rockview systems, it's probably been 5 to 8 years to reach that.
Thank you. I'm okay with supporting this motion, but it's got an expiry date for me, absolutely. So I think that, one, I think we can do maybe a better job with Bragg Creek residents and educate them and get them people that, again, we anticipated to hook up, get them to hook up, and then continue to sell our utility service in the Bragg Creek area as we look at new development or commercial opportunities. But again, and as far as Councillors Comanche comment about people can't afford it, less sympathetic there. I think that the value of their property increases, allows them to have a conversation with a bank, which is, it's not our job to fuss about that too much. But I will be supporting this with a timeline and an expiry date.
Councillor Comanche, perhaps you'd like to wait and close.
Okay.
Because there is other lights on and others. So, Councillor Kissel.
So, if we're going to talk about rates, I agree with Deputy Reeve Goutreau that we need to be more fair, because I do have a community in my area, and it's called Monterra. And before they turn on the tap, it's $150 a month. So, we need to keep that in mind when we're trying to balance our numbers. So that's all I'm adding.
Councillor Wright.
Through the REU to administration, just for clarification, even this increase does not bring us to cost recovery, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Councillor Shule.
I just want to make another comment. I do agree that there's got to be a timeline on this deal. This is why I said let's see if we can find other solutions. I believe there is quite a few different solutions. I also believe that if we get Aqueduct up and running, I think that can be a real solution. So I definitely am going to support Councillor Comanche's motion, but I'm just also saying that I want a year on there to see what other solutions are available. I do sympathize with some of the people there, especially if they're elderly and they've made a retirement home or whatever. Some of them just can't afford to throw that kind of money unless we were able to make a cost recovery somewhere through tax, I think the home improvement tax or whatever it's called. There's so many different ways that we could may be able to find a solution. So this is why I'm supporting this motion, just to give it a year to find other solutions. Thank you.
And Councillor Hanson.
Yeah, this whole waiting a year is an absolute red herring, colleagues. It's not achieving cost recovery, whether these 20 or 25 hook up or not. And really, it's a matter of the people that bought in. I think it's more environmental. Like, they're worried about another Walkerton or something. Alba Valley West was supposed to hook up to the City of Calgary. Politics shut the door. I was told at least a 10% devaluation because they don't have a sewer hookup. So you talk about the additional cost to hook up, and it's like, no, I agree with Kim. It's an absolute bonus. And it's not just about the money. It's about the clean drinking water. Like, somehow all of that got lost in this. And it's like, they have to be hooked up. Not so much to try get a better deal. They don't feel ripped off if they hooked up early. But with, what, 70% hooked up already? 30 trailing? I mean, it's a red herring. It's a way more bigger issue than what you're making it. So they don't need special treatment. We do understand all of the issues. We will look at them. But why a holiday on a rate increase when other ratepayers in Rocky View, significantly more ratepayers in Rocky View, are suffering the same kind of increases? I don't think that's fair.
If I could, I'd like to ask Mr. Jewison, just on the water rate, roughly, can you give us an average of how much per month that's going to cost, that little increase?
Sure, through the Reeve. If I could just get access to a file on the computer here, I have a chart that could explain that. So in Bragg Creek, and this will kind of help put things in perspective of what we're actually talking about here. So in Bragg Creek, we got a usage anywhere from 1 cubic meter per month to 41 cubic meters per month, and these are residential usages. So we, through our meter reading records, we see that the average user is about 10 to 20 cubic meters a month. So for comparison purposes, we'll look at 15 cubic meters a month. So this, the top chart is 2017 rate. This is what somebody would pay in 2017 rates at the $1.86 per cubic meter water and the 4.706 for wastewater. So someone using 15 cubic meters a month would be paying $53.14 a month for water and $95.59 for wastewater, for a total monthly bill of about $148, $149. If you, the chart below it is what it would be with the proposed rates, the 2.064 for water and 5.1177 for wastewater. So at those rates, average user would be paying $55.96 per month for water, $102.66 for wastewater, for a total bill of $158.62. So if you look over at the chart next to it, that's a difference of about 32 cents a day, $10 a month, or $120 a year. And that's about a 6.6% increase. So there's a lot of misconception with the increase. It's a 10% increase on the variable rate, the flat rate staying the same. So when you blend it all together, it works out to about a 7% increase. And if you're using more water than the 15 cubic meters a day, of course, you're paying more and your percentage goes up. If you wanted to compare that to what we charge in East Rocky View on the systems now, for 2018 proposed rates, your total monthly bill is about $132.81 a month for a 15 cubic meter month usage. So not too far off from what we're proposing for Brad Creek. Your water on East Rocky View Water System is you're paying quite a bit more, or you're paying more on the water side. Brad Creek would be paying less than somebody in East Rocky View for water, but they're paying quite a bit more on the wastewater side, and that's just with the technology we're using on the wastewater treatment plant, Brad Creek, and the low number of users on that system. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the impact is going to be on the residents. So basically it's a $10 a month extra charge on that. Just for a kind of comparison purpose where that puts us, we looked at what other communities are charging for wastewater. And based on that 15 cubic meter a month usage, we see for the proposed rate for Brad Creek at $55 and $96 per month puts us kind of in the middle of the pack on the different municipalities, kind of in between what Rocky View Water Co-op would charge and what Cal Alto Water Works System would charge. In East Rocky View, our monthly bill for 15 cubic meters a month would be $73.73, kind of a little bit more, but it does put us in comparison with what the AMD of Foothills charges for its hamlets and what the Conrich developer right now is charging for water. The wastewater side too, you'll see that Brad Creek is quite a bit higher than on the comparable end of things. But that, again, that's a function of just the low amount of users on the system and the high cost to operate.
Thank you. Councillor Camachi to close.
So in closing, I respect everybody's opinions here today. I get it. I think it is a bit of a special case in that, you know, we wouldn't be having this discussion today if it weren't for a flood that forced the hands of a lot of landowners, those whose wastewater system survived, which I have some doubts, but those who were forced to hook up and make the expense. Again, I'm just asking for time. You know, I'm talking to residents, potential non-resident businesses, people who want to set up. They're looking at subdividing, things like that. There's a lot of impacts with reconnecting and connecting to the system. So again, it's I'm looking at moving two steps forward versus one step backwards, and engaging more people to help come up with a solution. Again, water quality is a huge issue there, and that knowing that there are people who are still using their septic fields, and I'm pretty sure they're not working to full capacity, we've got to make them understand what they're doing to our aquifer, and that hooking up is the best option. We have residents who never even had the option to hook up to the wastewater treatment plant. It is state-of-the-art, and people don't know that. So again, there are stories where they have to be educated, and I'm asking for that time to educate them, not only on costs, but the efficiencies and how we can help Rocky View build our tax base out there.
Thank you. So with that said, if we can get the motions back up. Okay. And you read these motions in. Okay. So that said, we'll call a question. All in favor? It's recorded vote. Sorry, we can start with Councillor Camachi.
In favor?
In favor.
Opposed?
I'm opposed.
Opposed.
In favor?
In favor.
Opposed?
Opposed.
and that fails. So now we need a motion for any further amendments. I guess I should ask for that. Did anybody want any further amendments? Then I'd like to get a motion for first reading for the Master Rates Bylaw. Councillor Shule.
I will start. I'll go with motion one that C bylaw C7751 2018 be given first reading.
First reading, all in favor? No. Recorded vote.
Opposed.
In favor.
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 That is carried. Deputy Reeve Control.
I'll make a motion that bylaw C7751 2018 be given second reading.
Second reading, all in favor? Councillor Camacci.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
Favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
That is carried, and I need a motion for consideration of third. Councillor Hansen.
I'd like to make a motion that bylaw C7751-2018 be considered for third reading.
All in favor. Thank you for that. All in, that's carried. And Councillor, or Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Make a motion that bylaw C7751-2018 be given third and final reading.
Third and final reading, all in favor? That is carried. Thank you. We'll go to item J1. We have a request of council for the one of the proponents to speak. I need a motion to that effect. Councillor Kissel.
I'd like to move that we allow the applicant to speak.
Okay. Motion to allow the applicant to speak. All in favor? And we'll have a recorded vote. Councillor Kissel.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed?
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
That's carried. We'll have him speak as soon as the presentation from staff is done. Thank you. Mr. Simon.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Reeve and council members. Paul Simon, representing Planning Services. Item J1 is situated within Division 9, located in an agricultural area of the county, approximately 0.2 kilometers east of Range Road 55 on the north side of Township Road 282A. Subject lands are designated Agricultural Holdings District with surrounding parcels designated agricultural as well as country residential. The associated redesignation application to the Agricultural Holdings District was approved by Council on February 14, 2017. The purpose of this application is to create a 19.79-acre parcel with a 19.79-acre remainder. While these parcels are slightly undersized by approximately 0.2 acres for the Agricultural Holdings District, where the minimum parcel size is 20.01 acres, the application still meets the requirements of Section 654.2 of the Municipal Government Act. The undersized parcels were noted at the time of redesignation, and Council was fully aware when they made their decision that they would be approving undersized parcels. Access is currently available to proposed Lot 2 from an existing gravel approach from Township Road 282A. As a condition of subdivision, the applicant will be required to construct a new approach on the panhandle in order to provide access to the newly created lot. Given that access is proposed via panhandle, it is recommended that as a condition of subdivision approval, a road acquisition agreement is registered on Lot 1 here. To complement the road acquisition agreement, administration would recommend as well as a condition of subdivision approval to register a restrictive covenant that would restrict the erection of any structure within 15 meters of the potential future internal roadway. Servicing is currently provided by means of water well and a conventional private sewage treatment system. As a condition of subdivision, the owner would be required to provide a phase two groundwater evaluation for proposed lot one to ensure that there is sufficient water to provide for a new water well to be developed. In support of the application, the applicant did provide a level two PSTS report. As a proposed condition of subdivision approval, the applicant is required to enter into a site improvements and services agreement with the county. This ensures that the recommendations of that level two PSTS report are adhered to as development proceeds on proposed lot one. Payment of the transportation offsite levy. on 3 acres of each of the proposed lots is required as a condition of subdivision approval. In terms of municipal reserves, it is recommended that MR be deferred in this case, given that further subdivision potential does exist, assuming that this subdivision application does proceed, as the county plan does provide further policy support under Section 10 for fragmented country residential development. Lot 2 is currently developed with 1 dwelling, single detached, and 3 accessory buildings. Proposed Lot 1 is currently undeveloped. Subject lands contain rolling topography, and as a result, administration does recommend, as a condition of subdivision approval, that a geotechnical assessment be provided to ensure that the topography does not inhibit subsequent residential development. Proposal was circulated to 25 adjacent landowners. No letters in support or opposition of the application were received. Overall, the lands hold the appropriate land use designation to support further subdivision, and all technical matters are addressed through the proposed conditions of approval. Therefore, administration recommends approval in accordance with option 1. Thank you.
As with the municipal reserves being waived or deferred, why was the transportation levy not deferred then?
Through Mr. Chair, and in accordance with your bylaw and how the lands were zoned, it's applicable that we collect 3 acres on both lots being created.
And those 3 acres then are never paid again?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hanson.
Question about the 12.5 meter and width road allowance. I thought we needed 20 meters min for, say, a Camden, or 25 is more normal. Are we going to get an additional 12.5 off of lot 2 somehow? I didn't really see anything there to allow a full county residential road.
Through you, Mr. Chair, and what you're seeing there is that restricted caveat of 15 meters that's shaded on the map, and that's given the future potential that if we need to, we can go back and do a road acquisition agreement to get it to that requirement for a road right-of-way.
So it's not just a setback, it's actually
opportunity for road if we need to. You also have to look at the lands, I guess, to the right of the page, and also what's being created there, and if there's an opportunity to work with those landowners to gain road right-of-way on those lands, then you're getting into that 12.5-meter requirement on those lands and getting you into your 25-meter right-of-way in that scenario.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor McKeiler.
Where's the approach, through the chair, sorry, where's the approach on the lands to the east?
Through the chair, too, Councillor McKeiler. Sir, are you referring to these lands right here?
That's correct. Yes, so okay, see it there now. Sorry, yeah. I couldn't see it here. The 15-meter setback then, which is, I guess, for future road allowance, but also for building setback, what happens to that property to the east? Do they have setbacks? Could they build a house right directly beside that road? It looks like it's right on the property line, the road on the east side there, the panhandle.
Through the chair to Councillor McKeiler, this previous subdivision occurred in the early 1970s, so at that time it was not required that a restrictive covenant be registered for them.
So then to answer my question, theoretically they could build a building right beside that road? Is that correct?
Through the chair, so it is not an internal roadway, it is a panhandle, so it would be a private driveway, so there would not be any other setbacks other than those applicable in accordance with the Agricultural Holdings District.
No, sorry, I'm not sure, I'm not worried about their road per se. What I'm worried about is the new road, the new panhandle on the application. It looks like it's right on the property line, on the easterly border, is that correct?
I'm sure. Through the chair to Councillor McKeiler, if I understand you correctly, for the future road is directly on the boundary, but currently it's a driveway. If it were to become a road, the setback would be from the internal subdivision road, which would be under the Ag Holdings, or if it were to in the future subdivide to R2, it would have that setback requirement.
Okay, I'm not... Yeah, which I'm not sure my question's being...
Yeah,
I'm probably not asking my question properly is what the thing is. So we've got the road, the dotted line going up to the north. We've got a 15-meter setback heading to the west. Is that correct?
Yep.
And the statement was to prevent them from building a building within that envelope. However, the property to the west does not have that. They could... So my question is, could... So to the east, they could put a building there... And so I guess further on, do we want that road, that panhandle, immediately on that property line? And so because, again, I think we've got a potential conflict there in the future, much like we would have had with the Camden Lane. So that's my question.
So through the chair to Councillor McIlair, just to clarify, so you're referring to the property to the east, the western boundary of that, whether or not there would be any restrictions for this potential future internal roadway?
Correct.
So if these lands did choose to come in to develop, administration would apply appropriate conditions to ensure that the setbacks are maintained if that is developed as an internal roadway. But at this time, because those lands aren't part of this application, administration would not be able to apply conditions of approval.
Okay, but that's not my question. My question is, I want to build a barn. I want to build a shed. Do I have restrictions on that land to prevent me from putting it right up against that property line?
So it would be the restrictions that are currently applicable in accordance with the Agricultural Holdings District of the Land Use Bylaw for a minimum side yard setback.
Which is what?
I believe that it is 3 meters for the Agricultural Holdings District for a side yard setback from another property.
Thank you.
Councillor Gissel.
Through the Reeve. So I'm just looking at the aerial photo, if you could put that up. So I know it's really hard to see, but we have a building that's sitting just directly almost on that 15-meter or the restricted covenant. So how does that affect that property? Because it's already got something there existing. And so the question would be, would the road not be better on the other side of this property?
Through the chair to Councillor Kissel, so two things here. Administration did do an approximate measurement of that existing building, and it does not appear to encroach into that 15-meter proposed restrictive covenant. However, it is close. And administration did have discussions with the applicant about potentially flipping the panhandle to the western side here. But they did indicate, because when we were looking at the topography, administration did feel that it was possibly better suited to be on the west side. But the applicant did come back and indicated that there is quite a wet area there and that they've been working to build up this area for multiple decades now. And it would be very difficult to actually construct a private internal roadway on the western side of the subject lands.
So can we verify the setback? Is it 3 meters on agricultural holdings? I believed it was 15, but I could be wrong.
Through the chair to Councillor Kissel, it was actually 6 meters for the setback for agricultural holdings for the side yard there.
So if we allow this panhandle to be where it is and the building that is existing falls inside that restricted covenant, so then it falls outside of what we actually should be allowing. Is that true or not?
Through the chair to Councillor Kissel, so that existing accessory building does currently meet setbacks. If that is developed as an internal roadway in the future, there is the possibility that that existing building could become a non-conforming building because currently that restrictive covenant, part of the intention of it is to preserve and maintain that 15-meter setback for any new development. But if it is developed as an internal roadway, then that existing building would, in essence, be considered non-conforming.
Thank you.
So maybe just to summarize, because I'm...
Councillor Hanson.
Oh, sorry. See, now I have a sense of urgency for some reason. So question for Zoltan then. No. So if everything goes according to plan, we got the 12 and a half meters. We'll grab another 12 and a half. That gives us the full 25 meters of county residential that would be needed for further subdivision in this neck of the woods. Would it be any different if it's subdivided between a 6-meter setback side yard that might eventually turn into a front yard setback for that property to the east? Would we be smart enough to look at that with a DP and actually say, no, because this is a future country residential road, it's fully spec'd out here. Everything's known about it. We're going to have to push you back to 17 meters, 15 meters, whatever a front yard setback is in a more dense subdivision.
Through the chair to Councillor Hansen, you are correct. The front yard setback, if the property did develop further and an internal roadway was developed here, would become the front yard, and that setback would be 15 meters. So that's the intention of the restrictive covenant, is to restrict any future buildings from being in that 15 meters to ensure that we aren't creating non-conforming buildings and preserving the integrity of that future internal roadway.
All right.
Thank you. I see no further questions. Wait, so just before we hear from the applicant, we're going to take a five-minute break. Oh, sorry. We'll hear from Councillor Wright first.
Sorry, I'm through the Reeve. I'm a little confused. I thought it was a three-meter setback, not 15. So, yeah, if you can just get clarification on that, please.
No problem. Through the chair to Councillor Wright. So it's actually a six-meter setback currently, would be considered the side yard, and that 15-meter would be applicable if it was developed, this panhandle portion, as an internal roadway. That's why you see the 15-meter restrictive covenant applied here.
And the 15 meters is in addition to the current road, is that correct?
So you would have the 12.5-meter panhandle,
yep.
And then from the western boundary of the panhandle, you cannot construct anything within 15 meters of that.
Okay, so it would be a 27.5 then.
Okay. Yes, that is correct, but technically the panhandle is owned by Lot 1 here.
Okay, thank you.
Deputy Reeve, control.
That was my question, and I'm just saying, do we not have 27.5?
There we go. Thank you again. Now I see no questions. We'll take 5 minutes and come back. And we'll now ask for the applicant to come forward, and if you state your name for the record, and then tell us what you need.
Good morning, Reeve Balki and respected members of council. My name is Asan Niazi. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak today. I'm speaking in behalf of the owners. I would like to request to the respected council to please remove the condition number 9 in the administration report, which talks about the transportation levy to be paid at the subdivision endorsement stage in the amount of $27,570. The owners are a retired couple on pension, and they have a very fixed income to pay for this kind of amount. So their financial means does not allow to pay this amount, and they would like to request that it should be removed from this condition should be removed, request to be removed from the administration report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant? Councillor Wright.
Through the Reeve, can I just get some clarification on when we should not waive TOLs, just for the matter of consistency more than anything, please? Thank you.
Through Mr. Chair, and just for my clarity, I think you're looking for when is council's opportunity, and through this subdivision process is your opportunity, if you agree with waiving or amending conditions, to do that.
Councillor Hanson.
Through the Reeve and the Chair.
Thank you.
The owners of the land, why are they not asking for this personally? Why are you asking on their behalf?
Through the Chair to Councillor Hanson. I guess I'm the applicant. That's one of the reasons. They are sitting behind me here, and if you would like, they can also speak.
You represent them completely, so this is
fair
not
enough.
Unusual. Councillor Kiss.
Through the Reeve to administration, can you tell me when these fees are due?
Through the chair to Councillor Kissel, the TOL fees are applicable prior to final endorsement, and administration's recommendation is that that is always the last condition that is satisfied.
So my question is, can this land, obviously we're subdividing for to sell a parcel, can this land be go into a sale agreement, and there's still then at that time to pay this fee?
Through the chair to Councillor Kissel, that's ultimately at the discretion of the applicant owners when they choose to pre-sell a lot. Administration requires all conditions that you see in front of you to be satisfied before we give consent for the applicant to go to land titles and actually register the new lots.
So ideally, it would need to be paid prior to the actual completion of the subdivision.
Yes. Through the chair, yes, that is correct. Land titles cannot be issued until the county issues their concurrence to register the subdivision to land titles, which means the TOL has to be paid.
And this may just be a question you don't know the answer to, but can you pre-sell based on that the title still hasn't changed? Does anybody know that through administration?
Through you, Mr. Chair, that's strictly a private matter that administration can't comment on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Reeve Control.
Thank you. Does anybody know the condition of Range Road 282? Township Road 282A?
Through you, Mr. Chair, it is a gravel road, and I was just going through the comments outlined on page 10 of 20 of the administration reports. I see no comments related to its concern or a concern on that road, so I'd say it's in very good condition.
Thank you. And can you tell me how long it takes to get titles back from land titles?
Through the chair to Deputy Reeve Gautreaux, it always depends on how busy land titles is. Generally, it's between 2 and 6 weeks.
Thank you.
I see no further questions for you, so thank you. You had something further?
Yes.
Sorry.
I'd just like to elaborate something about, respect to council, through the chair to the council, Kissel mentioned about whether the lot will be sold to another party. One thing we always mentioned during our public hearing in the past that this lot is the lot one is going to be sold, will be given to the daughter of the family, so there's no money transferring here. This is not a money-making subdivision operation.
You know, frankly, it's the landowner's business.
Okay.
You don't need to explain that to us. I appreciate that, but it is their business. It's private business. It's not up to us what they do with it. So thank you for your request. I will say that I will support a motion to delete that if we see potential here for future development. We can defer this transportation levy off to a future date, and levies have a habit of doing nothing but going up, so I don't see us losing any money here. Thank you. You can take your seat. Councillor Kissel.
So my question to administration is through the Reeve. Is can we defer one and keep one on the, because we're doing 2 3-acre allowances.
Through Mr. Chair, through the bylaw, council has the authority to create whatever conditions or defer whatever conditions of subdivision they feel is appropriate. Administration cannot create those deferral options, though.
Thank you.
And Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Sorry, I'm actually got to the wrong page.
I see no further questions. Councillor Henn.
I don't have a question, but I'd like to make a motion to delete item 9 from Appendix A.
Any debate on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor? And we have a recorded vote.
Opposed.
Opposed.
In favor?
In favor.
Favor.
Opposed.
Opposed.
Favor.
That is carried. So now we need a motion to pass with conditions as amended. Unless you have further amendments.
No, we're good.
Thank you.
I'd like to move that subdivision application PL 2017008 0 be approved with the conditions as noted in Appendix A as amended.
Thank you. Councillor McCullough.
I won't be supporting that. I think we have a situation with the road. I believe that we need to think about the lands to the east and any development there. And so unless there's an adjustment to the road moving it further to the west, I can't support this.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions then, all in favor? And we have a recorded vote. Councillor?
In favor.
Comanche.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed.
In favor.
And that is carried. Your subdivision has been granted with an amendment. We'll go to J2. Councillor Shul.
I need to step out as my company name is in this document. Thank you.
I thought somebody was using it in vain, but I guess not. Could we get the report, please?
Good morning, Mr. Even, members of council. My name is Jamie Kirchuk, and I'm representing planning services this morning. Item J2 is located 1 mile east of the city of Calgary and 1 mile north of Highway 564 on the west side of Range Road 285. The purpose of this application is to create a 20-acre parcel, which we're calling Lot 1, with a 135-acre remainder, which we are calling Lot 2. The subject land is designated Agriculture Holdings and Ranch and Farm District. Lot 1 is currently developed with a dwelling and detached garage, and servicing is provided by means of a water well and private sewage treatment system. Because the remainder, Lot 2, is larger than 30 acres, serviceability is not required at this time. Access to Lot 1 and 2 is provided via an existing approach or approaches off of Range Road 285. The transportation off-site levy is owing for 3 acres of the proposed Lot 1, as the proposal is to subdivide an agriculture holdings district parcel. Municipal reserves are outstanding in the amount of 10% of the lands. As this location has not been identified for future municipal reserve acquisition to support public parks, open space, or pathway and trail development, dedication of lands is not required. Additionally, as the county plan does not support further fragmentation of these lands, future subdivision of the parcel is unlikely. As such, administration recommends that municipal reserves comprising of 10% of the subject parcel is taken on Lot 1 and deferred via caveat on Lot 2. 0 letters of support or opposition were received for this application, and this concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Reeve, Gaudreau.
Thank you. So on some of the conditions, I'm just looking at municipal reserves for one. Just looking at maybe we should be deferring this, as you know, this area is going to be developing in the near future at some point. And maybe we can get more municipal reserves, as well as just wondering what the condition of Range Road 285 is in as well.
Through you, Mr. Chair, on the condition of Range Road 285, again, I go to the comments made by administration on page 10 and 19, and I see no concerns being provided on 285, so I would say, again, it's a fair condition road.
So I'm also just thinking, you know, should we be waiving the transportation off-site levy at this time as well, just because this area can be future subdivided as well?
Councillor McKeiler.
Can I seek some clarification there? In your report, did you not say this land is not slated for future subdivision?
That is correct.
And transportation off-site levies aren't necessarily for the road in front of your property. Transportation off-site levies are for the county roads. Is that correct?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the transportation levy is divided up into quadrant and township roads within the area, so it's not just always the frontage roads, correct?
Thank you.
Is this in the Calgary growth corridor, or is this just above it?
Sorry, to the chair, it is within the Rocky View County City of Calgary IDP.
But is it in Calgary's growth corridor that was agreed to in the annexation?
To the chair, no, it is not.
It's not, so it's Rocky View land. Okay. Councillor Hanson.
I think both Kim and you covered my questions, sorry.
I see no other questions. My suggestion would be that I would leave the TOL on the 3 acres, and I'd take 3 acres of municipal reserve, too, and defer the rest. But that's only me. If we can get a motion. Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
Thank you. Through the Reeve, then, I'm going to move option one that the subdivision application PL 2017-0142 be approved with conditions notice in Appendix A. Noted in Appendix A.
Any amendment to the municipal reserves?
The municipal reserves are, yes, just the 3 acres then. On the lot.
Maybe
one.
We better have that up then, that just to amend the condition four.
It's just only 2 acres away. It should be just 2 acres.
Yeah, it's hardly worth taking it.
2 acres, gosh, I do like 20 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So just for clarification then, on the municipal reserves on lot one, that would only be 2 acres, correct? If it's a 20-acre parcel, 10%?
Through the chair, yes, that's approximately right.
And you're deferring lot two?
Yes.
I'm just gonna leave it as the original motion.
Okay. We'll run it as it is. Did you make a motion? No, everything's good. Okay, all in favor? And recorded vote. Council.
In favor?
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed?
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
And that is carried, as is. Thank you. If we can get a motion to go in camera, do we have anything further? Nothing? If we can get a motion to go in camera...
I'd like to make a motion to move our council meeting in camera.
Could you read that motion?
Sorry.
You are in a hurry.
In camera, to consider a personnel matter pursuant to the following sections of the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, Section 17, Disclosure Harmful to Personal Privacy, Section 19, Confidential Evaluations.
All in favor? We are back, and we will. I need a motion to come out of camera. Councillor McCullough.
I make a motion that council move out of in camera.
All in favor? And we are out of camera, and we have a motion. Councillor Wright.
I move that the report and in-camera discussion in RVC 2018-10 be held in confidence pursuant to the following sections of the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, Disclosure Harmful to Personal Privacy, Section 17, and Confidential Evaluation, Section 19, and that the appointment and employment of the Chief Administrative Officer, Kevin Gregg, with Rocky View County be terminated effective May 6, 2018, without cause for change in leadership, and that the Chief Administrative Officer, Kevin Gregg, be paid severance pay according to his employment agreement with Rocky View County and in accordance with legal advice.
Thank you. And seeing no discussion, all in favor? That is carried. Can I get a motion to terminate this meeting, Mr. Hansen? Kevin.
Terminator.
Councillor Kevin Hansen.
Like,
oops, hang on here. We got the deputy.
Thank you. So, and I wanted to say this earlier. As everybody knows, we had John Chamberlain, one of our members that worked for Rocky View County for many years, pass away. And I personally want to give my condolences, hopefully on behalf of all my colleagues. So, anyway, just wish him and his family the very best.
Thank you for that. Councillor Hansen.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Move to adjourn, and we're adjourned.